It's time for the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle. Stay tuned as we discuss local and national sports from Southeast Missouri and beyond. The Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle is brought to you by Royal Retros. If you like cool throwback jerseys of defunct sports teams, Royal Retros is the place to buy. If you go to royalretros.com and you order with the code SPORTSDESK, all one word, you can get a little bit off your order. So check out Royal Retros. And now on with the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle.
And welcome back to the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle. I'm Mike Bueller.
I'm Mark Sanders.
And it's Kyle Roberts. And guess what? All of our teams won this week.
Hooray!
Indeed they did. And we are going to be talking quite a bit of NFL in a little bit. But we are going to start off with a lot of good local stuff in a little bit. We are going to be joined by Donovan girls basketball coach and athletic director Adam Epps. And I believe Donovan football coach Nathan Hampton will be joining us as well. We're very excited about it. They've been wanting to get those guys on the show for a while. But right now, we are going to dive in and talk some high school sports. I will lead off with some high school basketball. Popper Bluff Mules played their season opener last night, took on the Jackson Indians, and lost a gut punch of a game in the first round of the CMO Conference Tournament, 59-53. Losses hurt. Losses to Jackson hurt even worse if you're Popper Bluff.
Yeah, you never want to lose to a SEMO rival, but, you know, that's the nature of the game.
It is. There were some other SEMO conference games last night. I believe New Matter County Central got a big win over Kennett. Sykeston absolutely dominated Cape Notre Dame. Basically, Sykeston was saying to the rest of the SEMO conference, we are not the number two seed. Shame on you for seeding us low.
Well, if Sykeston is anything like last year's Sykeston team, this is a team that can literally just run you right out of the building. They have so much speed on both ends of the hardwood. So I would expect that Sykeston is going to make a big impact in the game this season.
It's going to be interesting to watch. And, you know, looking back at some stuff that happened last week, the Bernie Mules, you know, are off to a really nice start. They won their own Bernie Invitational and looked really good doing it. Dominated Campbell in the championship game over at Oran. Bell City repeated as Oran Invitational Tournament champions. Got a nice 11-point win over a highly respected Chaffee team. One of the interesting surprises out of that tournament was the Advance Hornets. The Hornets came into that tournament as a sixth seed, but upset third-seeded Westwood Baptist in the first round. Lost a battle with a tough Chaffee team in the semifinals. Bounced back to beat Richland for third place in overtime. It's still early, but it seems like head coach Ethan Barr, assistant coach Jack Blue, have got the Hornets playing better. You know, this is a team that's been a little bit down the last couple of years, and it looks like they're going to make a little noise this year. They've got a tough week. They played Bell City. We're taping on Tuesday morning, so they play Bell City on Tuesday night, you know, which will be after we go to air. Then on Friday night, they are hosting Puxico, and Puxico has looked really good this year. They are 2-0. They got a big win Friday night against Naylor. Mark, I think you went to some games this week. What did you see?
I did. Before I talk about that, I want to go back and just mention Puxico because, you know, Puxico had a great season last year, but they didn't advance as far as they would have liked to have in the state tournament. Of course, you know, anyone who doesn't win the whole thing doesn't advance as far. But I would be willing to place them in the same category as like Donovan girls last year, or in football, you know, Dexter this year and probably next year, teams that have a lot of talent but want to really take it up to the next level. So I'll be really fascinated to see how Puxico is able to accomplish that. I was at East Carter last week and saw the East Carter girls get a big win over Twin Rivers, and then the Twin Rivers boys came out and beat the wait a minute, am I remembering that correctly?
I think it was Naylor, wasn't it?
Now I'm beginning. It was Naylor. Okay, it wasn't East Carter. It was Naylor. I'm sorry. I had this complete in my mind. But anyway, so scratch that. Just forget the last 30 seconds that I said. I was at that game. But
Ben
now,
Kenobi?
Yeah.
Ben Kenobi out here on the Gentleman Waste?
I know. I'm just blanking out on that. Because really what I'm wanting to talk about are the Woodland Cardinals.
That's right. You saw Woodland get a big win over Twin Rivers Friday. That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, it really is. And I'll tell you what, anyone who has Woodland on your schedule this season, be afraid. Be very afraid.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. This team is absolutely relentless. They've got a couple of players who can score from anywhere in the paint, and they are just relentless. They were already up by almost 30 points over the Royals in the second half, and they kept running a full court press defense. They kept forcing turnovers and turning them into fast break points. And they didn't let up until there was about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And that's when Woodland finally put in their bench players. And then their bench players were not out there just throwing the ball around. I mean, their job was to play defense and to score. And at the time you're watching this, it felt a lot like that Simpsons meme that is so popular, you know, where the kid is obviously watching a fight. He's like, stop it, he's already dead. But it's the sort of thing that's going to really serve them well when they get to the end of the season and the postseason, because you can't let up on your opponent for even a second. Because if you give another team a chance to get back into a game late, you're facing a lot of trouble at that point. So I really think that this Cardinals team is already getting warmed up for the postseason. And I'll tell you, I was really impressed, and I'm going to be following their progress over the next couple of months.
Indeed. You know, they looked really good last year, and, you know, the start they've gotten off to this year, that's pretty legit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to be in Greenville tonight, and that is a boys' game between the Greenville Bears and the visiting Donovan Dons.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm not covering any other games, but I do want to point out that there are a lot of good holiday tournaments coming up. And for me, the granddaddy of them all is the Bloomfield Christmas Tournament. We haven't gotten coverage assignments on that yet, but I've been there the past two or three years and hope that I will get a chance to see some of Southeast Missouri's best basketball in Bloomfield.
Indeed. And a couple of weeks from now, you know, coming up the week before, you know, the days leading up to Christmas, our podcast that week, you know, which is either going to air on Christmas Eve or maybe on Festivus, we are hoping to be joined by Poplar Bluff High School assistant principal and former high school basketball coach Corbin Clark. That's what I'm really looking forward to, because Corbin's also a big basketball fan. And many years ago, when Corbin was a high school kid, he was one of my freelancers when I was sports editor at Kennett. So this is a major coming full circle moment. Plus, I believe Corbin's mom used to work for you, or used to work with you at Three Rivers, Mark.
Oh, yeah, Lisa. You know, Southeast Missouri is just one extended big small town.
That's right.
You know, and speaking of that, you mentioned Coach in Advents, Jack Ballou. Is he any relation to Lane Ballou, who we've had on the show before?
He is Lane's younger brother, and Jack, like Lane, is a former Raider himself.
Well, speaking of the Raiders, the men are on a tear. They improved to 10-4 in their last game.
Indeed. They got a really nice win over Southwestern Illinois. That win pops out for a couple of reasons. One, the Raiders have struggled against Southwestern Illinois at the St. Louis Community College Shootout over the years. They have, you know, coming into that game, they had dropped 7 of their last 10 against SWIC at that tournament, but they looked really good. They pulled away in the second half and did it shorthanded as well. The Raiders are battling some injuries right now. You know, they had a starter out and still managed to win that game by 16 points.
And that's a six-game winning streak that the men are on right now.
The longest winning streak this team has been on in almost 4 years. The last time the Raiders won six in a row was January 2022. I mean, you know, that says this team is doing something right. You know, 10-4 is a good start. They've got three more games they've got to play before the end of the end of this year. They are playing Tennessee Valley Prep Friday night at a tournament in Northeast Mississippi. Then the next day they take on
Northeast Mississippi.
At Northeast Mississippi Community College in Boonville. It is the Harvey Shoulders Classic. And then coming up on Tuesday, they will wrap up the 2025 portion of their schedule by going to John A. Logan, an always tough place to play. That's going to be an interesting game. I would love to be at that one in person. I don't know if I'm going to get to do that, but it would sure be nice because that's always a fun one to watch, if nothing else, because it is a good challenge for the Raiders. Anytime you can beat John A. Logan, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's going to be a real test for them because they dropped a close game in overtime back at the beginning of the season here at home in the first Midwest Bank Classic. They dropped that in overtime by 4 points. So that's going to say a lot about our Raiders basketball team if they're able to go on the road just right before Christmas break. You know, school's been out for a few days, and as soon as this is over, you know, they're off for a couple of weeks for Christmas until they can come back. And I'm really interested to see if they can keep their focus and pull out a big road win and keep that momentum rolling into 2026.
Indeed. One team that has been having a few struggles of late has been the Lady Raiders. You know, the big news with the Lady Raiders, they went to John A. Logan this past Saturday and lost in overtime to a Logan team they had beaten by 50 points earlier. It's a loss that I know left some of our fan base absolutely shocked. You know, because that's I've compared that to the Kentucky Wildcats going to the Show Me Center losing to SEMO.
Here's the thing. For the past 2 years, the women have had an almost unblemished regular season. They've just rolled over opponents, which is good. I mean, that's a testament to the strength of the program. But they haven't faced any adversity, hardly any adversity at all. And we all remember last season when they dropped the regional championship to State Fair, a State Fair team that they had already beaten, what, two, three times previously in the
season?
Three times. You know, they should not have dropped that game. And we can say all we want about Coach Alex Wiggs, you know, coaching up the team and keeping them focused, but we have to remember that these are young women who are playing this game, you know, in their late teens and early 20s. We can't expect them, you know, to maintain that focus all the time. And so I think these losses, this bit of adversity that they can, and it's, you know, it's surprising when you look at the schedule, you know, they lost at Trinity Valley and then came back, won another road game at Vincennes, and then, you know, the end of that road trip lost to John A. Logan. So they've lost two out of three on the road. That's about as close as we can get in the regular season to like a tournament feel. I mean, if we're talking about being on the road in Casper, Wyoming, you know, and having to win 2, 3, 4 games to win a national championship, this is it in a microcosm. So now, when you lose, it exposes both your strengths and weaknesses, but especially identifying those weaknesses and being able to focus on them is so important. We're going to be talking with Donovan Donette's head coach, Adam Epps, here in just a little bit. And you'll remember that 2 seasons ago, that Donette's team went undefeated in the regular season.
That is right.
And then dropped the district title to Notre Dame. They went into last season with, I don't remember how many losses it was. I think
it was two.
Yeah, I think it was 2 losses. But they didn't have to worry about maintaining an undefeated record in the postseason. It's just not important. You know, there's so much pressure to go undefeated. And I say go ahead and get those losses out of the way. Learn from them. Grow from them. Work, you know, find out the areas that you need to improve your game and then apply that to the next game. You know, one of the things that made Michael Jordan so great as a basketball player is that he said he spent his practice time working on his weaknesses.
There you go.
And that's one of the reasons why he was Defensive Player of the Year. What, Kyle? 8, 9 seasons in a row? Something like that?
Something along those lines. I could pull that up. But, yeah, that's an overall testament to maximizing your entire range of capabilities. Is I already know what I'm good at. Why don't I work on what I'm not so great at?
Yeah.
And like eventually, I mean, look, you know, you mentioned Michael. Look at the famous shrug game. He had 6 straight threes, and he had no jump shot no long-range jump shot. And then that's why he's like, man, I can't even believe I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But that's what you got to do, and that's what it takes.
Yeah, so the ladies also have two more games coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and then they'll get the Christmas break. And like I've been saying here for the past several weeks, everything in 25 is just preseason.
Exactly.
You know, once the regional matchups start in January of 26, that's when we can really take the pulse and see where our Raiders teams really are in terms of the trajectory of their seasons.
And that's a good point. I've said more than once, because I do have some friends that tend to take, you know, any losses by the Raiders or Lady Raiders really bad. I said, guys, these losses, you know, before region play, they don't really hurt us that much. The only losses I tend to worry a lot about at this point in the schedule, and even to some extent in the regular season region, is if you have a major injury. That can hurt. Now, if you have a major injury, you're in trouble, but just playing a bad game and getting embarrassed is not going to do too much damage to you unless you let it get in your head. Now, it could hurt the Lady Raiders if they need to get an at-large bid, but we're not even to that point yet.
Nah. I have no worries about how they're going to play in the region. We also have to consider that this time of year, there are illnesses. And I can tell you, as a member of the Three Rivers faculty, that a lot of our athletes are under the weather right now.
And that's not all. It's also finals week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, there's a big distraction. It's going to be interesting. Like I said, I think, you know, it's just something that, you know, like when the guys, you know, had a losing streak last season, it's like, we just need to bounce back from it, get our heads back in the game, and we'll be all right. We're going to be, you know, we're expecting, you know, Coach Epps and Coach Hampton in a bit. But I do want to give a quick shout out to the Donovan Donettes. They are back to their winning ways again. They got their third win of the season Monday night against Fredericktown. And they have won all three of their games this year by more than 30 points. The closest game they had was a 71-38 win over Chaffee in the semifinals of the River City Classic last Thursday. That was a 33-point win. They beat Portageville by 42 in the championship, and they beat Fredericktown by 39 last night in a game where they were given their state championship rings from last season.
I wish I could have seen that. Wow.
Yeah, this team is really, you know, they're still doing Donovan things. You know, a little bit of cool trivia. You know, one of the reasons I'm an Adam Epps fan, other than the fact he's a great coach and a great AD, which we can talk about in a bit, is Adam is also a good friend of one of my best friends from college. So we go back many, many years, because when Adam was younger, him and my friend played baseball for the Raiders, and he was kind of like a big brother to them. So, I mean, it's like, wow, we go back almost 30 years.
Yeah, funny story from last season, because I got to cover a lot of those Donettes games, especially the district championship and then also the sectional that they played to go to the Final Four. And you see these young ladies out there, and they're just playing so tough, you know, and the maturity and the skill and the resilience that they have. The other teams are making runs, tying it up, maybe even going ahead, and, you know, they're storming back and taking leads and hitting three-pointers just with ice water in their veins. And then after the game, I'm out there on the court, and I'm interviewing them, and I'm like, you know, I'm asking them questions, you know, like, you know, how does it feel to win the district? How does it feel to go to the Final Four? And then it's all of a sudden I realize, okay, this is a 15-year-old girl. You know, this is a 16-year-old girl, and they didn't have much to say other than feels great. I feel great. You know, it's one of the realities of covering high school sports that I think we all need to remember, especially your friends with their unrealistic expectations of even a community college team. I'm 57 years old. These are children who are out here playing, especially in high school. You know, they're kids. Even at the community college level, they're kids. We can't expect them to act like adults. We can't expect them to act like professional athletes. They are none of these things. So it's like, hey, relax. This is a game, and games are supposed to be fun. So let's focus on having some fun.
Indeed, and we are going to have a lot of fun on this show. And when we come back, we will be joined by Adam Epps and I'm believing Nathan Hampton here on the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle.
This is Three Rivers men's basketball coach Robert Kirby, and you are listening to the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle.
And we are back on the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle, and we are joined in studio right now by Donovan Donitz, girls basketball coach and athletic director Adam Epps, and by Donovan football coach Nathan Hampton. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
I've been wanting to get you guys on for a while. We're excited. Nathan, I'm going to start with you because I want to, you know, start off talking football. I thought you guys had a heck of a year this year. I mean, you won four games this year, which is the most. Coming in, since the program started back up in 2018, y'all only had four varsity wins coming into this year, and you had four varsity wins just this year. And, you know, I thought you guys took some really nice steps forward. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a good year for the Donovan football team. It was one that, like I said, we tied the win total since they've had since 2018 in one season. And a lot of that was just, you know, the development the kids had from last year to this year. And we had a couple of really good, you know, a really good year from a couple of players like Putman and, you know, some of our big sophomore group. And it was just, you know, exciting to see, you know, from week one to week nine, the improvement, you know, we made on the field. And like I said, you look at what we got coming back, we really lose three seniors. Three got hurt pretty much. They only played about two games the whole year, three of our seniors. And, you know, bring back 9 or 10 on offense and 9 or 10 on defense. You know, it's kind of exciting looking forward.
One of the things that I think is really making a difference for your team between 3 years ago, the last year you played varsity before you went back to junior varsity, of course you weren't part of that previous varsity team, was just the lack of depth, just the fact that offense and defense were the same players. And now you've developed enough depth where you've got different players on both sides of the ball, and you've also got some backups at different positions. You know, how has that developed for you?
Yeah, it's still not ideal for Class 3. You know, when you look at teams that are in our district like Potosi and Dexter and Park Hills that are easily carrying, you know, 50 kids, you look over at our 19, and it's not ideal, but it's one of those, you know, with how we practice, how we condition for our kids, like cramping wasn't as big of an issue this year. It was really just the injury bug for those three seniors. It was just kind of bad luck, just, you know, fluke things, and they were done for the year. But like I said, our kids stepped up really well. They kind of answered the call, like, hey, we're going to play at least 10 games. Like, it's something that they haven't done in a long time. Some of those kids, you know, coming out of junior high, just 6 games is all they get.
One of your two quarterbacks was sophomore Alex Jones. Talk about his development and what you're expecting out of him next season as he steps up to the junior level.
Yeah, so he made a big improvement really in our run game stuff. Passing game wise, he's fine. He's tall. I mean, he's, you know, almost 6'2" and 190. Like, that's what, for me, playing quarterback at 5'11", 185 pounds, like, that was, you know, the height was always an issue because when I was in college, you couldn't see nothing, you know. And passing wise, he's always been fine with his progressions and stuff, and getting the ball out when he needs to, where he needs to. But run game, just the reads he was making was a lot smoother, and it seemed like most of the time he was giving the ball to who it needed to get to.
Okay.
And you got another really good pass catcher coming back, I believe, in Jack Wellington. Tell me about him.
Yeah, so he gets overlooked a lot, and it kind of helped us out with having Putman, you know, on the other side and Jack on one side. Is Putman's getting doubled, almost tripled every time, and then it leads a lot of one-on-ones for Jack, and he made some really big catches for us in multiple games, the Saxony game. The Granite City game, he had a big touchdown catch right at the beginning over a defender. But, he, you know, he's one that he runs really good routes. He has really good hands, and his spatial awareness when the ball's in the air, he does a good job of timing up when he needs to jump and whatnot.
One of the keys that I've noticed, especially with high school football, is so many of these teams don't really have a highly skilled quarterback, so they rely on the run game a lot, and a lot of teams struggle to stop the run, you know. So how are you going to emphasize that with your defense in the season upcoming?
Yeah, it's just one, you know, if we keep getting bigger like we need to and more athletic, Like our whole, almost our whole box will be coming back. We lose Madden Wooldridge, who's a linebacker for us, and then we lose Putman in that box. He kind of played everywhere defensively for us, just depending on who we played. But really just that experience and the age of, you know, from your sophomore to your junior year and junior to your senior year, that makes a big difference, especially for those kids, just size-wise and physicality-wise.
Yeah, that growth spurt between age 15 and 16 is really dramatic.
Yeah, when half my kids can't drive to practice yet, that's kind of an issue in football. Not necessarily in baseball or basketball, but like, you know, when you're out there and you got 18-year-old kids lined up across from you that, you know, are close to 300 pounds, it makes a difference. When I'm looking over and both my defensive ends are about 170, I'm like, eh, at least we're tough.
But that's, you know, that's a really good sign for the program, is that, you know, you've got essentially your entire team for the next 2 years.
Yep.
You know, if they can stay healthy and keep playing and keep developing. So it seems like you've got good things to look forward to.
Yeah, that's the big thing, especially like I was kind of in a similar scenario at Portageville. Was we started pretty much a lot of freshmen and a couple sophomores. And, you know, that first year we only won 2 games. And then, you know, by the time they played 40 varsity games, like we were pretty good at the end. And that's kind of the goal here, you know, moving forward, is getting those varsity games in and just seeing them develop each time.
Indeed. And, you know, one thing I noticed, I've already took a look ahead of your schedule next year. You've got a nice balance. I believe you guys are rejoining the SEMO Central, but you're also, you know, playing some teams. You know, I think you're playing Missouri Military Academy again. I think you're playing Malden again, if everything works out. And I think your schedule's got a good balance, you know, and I think that's really good for building a program. Tell me about that.
It does. It's exciting. You know, there's a couple different ways that people like to schedule games. Some like to put the easiest ones at the beginning and put the hardest ones at the end, or vice versa. I really don't care. It's one of those that, you know, it's a manageable schedule, especially, you know, with, we start with Piggott, going to Piggott, and then we've got Kabul. It's kind of nice to get, you know, different looks.
Like, it is.
We don't see a lot of teams that run what Piggott runs or run what, you know, Kabul runs. And, you know, we look at the back end where we got Malden and MMA. It's two teams we're kind of familiar with. And then you look at the SEMO Central, you know, it's just – I like playing, you know, in the Central. Hopefully it'll be able to get us some recognition moving forward. But
one of the most impressive things that I saw your team do last season was the first half against Gateway. That was a team that came down from St. Louis and just expected to roll, and you were just in a dogfight with them in the first half. Unfortunately, your starting center got hurt, and that really put you guys in a bad position for the second half. But I just thought that first half was just like, wow, this is what this program can really do. Yeah,
that's what we were talking schedule-wise last year. We kind of had it all figured out, and then Soldan ended up dropping, and
that's
which
right.
They co-opted with Gateway.
Yeah.
So we were just kind of looking, and we were looking at Gateway's schedule or record last year, and like, well, they played in a quarterfinal, and it's like, ah, oh, well, we got to have a game. Like,
yeah.
I tell them all the time, I don't care who we play. And it's, you know, we knew going forward, like, offensively, they didn't really do a ton of crazy stuff. It was kind of pretty simple to kind of scheme up against it. And it, I mean, it was just bring a lot of pressure and try and see if they can throw, you know, hit on 10 go balls. And statistically, it's tough to. And our kids played really well the first half. And then you get to the second half and it just, football didn't bounce your way. But
yeah, well, I mean, you know, I don't know who your backup center was, but it didn't look like he had a lot of experience.
No, and it's one of those, it's a tough spot to get put in, you know, when you got a game of that magnitude and at that time frame when it's still pretty close. It, you know,
yeah,
at the end of the day, you're still putting it on 15 and 16 year old kids. And
but I you know, I still think no matter what, you can hang your hat on that first half. I mean, it was really impressive, and it was like, these guys are playing the best ball they've played all season right here tonight.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, offensively, we did what we needed to do. Like, we controlled the ball, controlled the clock, you know, didn't turn it over, put good drives together, and defensively, we got a lot of three and outs. And, like, for us, with how our program is and how our kids are, like, we're not going to win, you know, 60 to 60 or 55 ball games.
Yeah.
Like, we're not built for the – for the high speed stuff. You know, if we can control the clock and the ball, that's more of our game.
Well, what's funny is I sat here and told Mike, I said, well, I don't know anything about football, but I mean, it's like playing a team like Gateway, you know, just go ahead and air the ball out, you know, try to get it in Putman's hands as much as possible. And then you guys came out and just ran the ball and were successful doing the run. It's like, okay, this is why I talk about sports instead of coaching it, because I don't know anything.
Yeah, it was one, the guy, that the kid they had guard, Jacob, he was a really good corner because they just had, it was just one-on-one coverage. Yeah. And still, we still made some pretty good throws, and Jacob had some pretty decent catches, but it was one of those, like, my gosh, like, that kid's good on the other side of the ball, and you got to give him credit for that.
Indeed, it's going to be fun to watch what you guys do next year. And Adam, I'm going to holler at you. You know, we were talking earlier, me and Mark, you guys are off to another hot start. I mean, you're 3-0. I mean, you've been killing people again. You got another big win Monday night against Fredericktown. It's still early, but so far so good. And I'll let you go from there.
Yeah, we're definitely got a little bit of a different lineup in there. We lost two really good seniors that were part of the program for 4 years, and our point guard Madeline Reedus and our post player Sarah Owens. So we definitely have had some adjustments, especially at the point guard position. We've had a freshman that has kind of came in and stepped up and really been doing a lot more than expected, playing out of the post, and Bella Monahan. She's been at double figures just about every game. She was our leading scorer in the Portageville game. So I really like how she's rebounding the basketball. And then we returned two All-Staters, Ellie White, and then Carson Haygood, who was also the player of the year. And that never hurts. And off to a good start, playing pretty good defensively, trying to clean up offense. And Carson also got her 1,000th point last night.
Oh, wow.
Her third game of her junior year. So
impressive.
Yep.
Yeah, she's going to be breaking some records. You know, when you come back down off that mountain, I mean, you get all the way to the top of the state championship. How do you manage expectations going into a new season with a new lineup?
Yeah, I had this talk with several coaches. Like, we've been good for, I mean, getting close to 5-8 years. We've been really good. We've been knocking on the door. And, you know, I feel like we've had a target on us every time we go someplace. You
absolutely
know, people got us circled. And then last year we was able to break through and win that. And then the softball team turned around, and they went to the Final Four in the fall too. And I was talking, I was like, how do we keep them motivated right now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you've been to the top and you've achieved all of that, and the girls have done just a really good job. They're hungry, and you can tell. You got those ones that are stepping in, that they were on the team last year, but their role on the team, you know, they didn't have their fingerprints all over it. And I think those guys are hungry. And then also you hear stuff, a little bit of chatter about you guys aren't the same team and stuff like that, and I think that gets them motivated as well. But yeah, it's a good group. They work hard every day.
Yeah, you're absolutely not going to be the same team. I mean, losing the points and the leadership that you did with Maddie and Sarah, but I mean, that's part of high school basketball, is like any high school sports, is like looking for your next set of leaders to step up.
Yeah, and it's always exciting to see, because you can't pick it out either. You're like, well, it needs to be this one and this one. Like, you don't get to choose, and it's kind of nice to watch the evolution of somebody growing into a leader.
Yeah,
indeed. And you know, one thing, you know, I want to switch gears temporarily. You know, one thing that I've been really impressed with is, you know, like I said, not only are you the Donovan girls basketball coach, you're also the AD at Donovan. And Donovan sports have been having some really nice things happen the last few years. I mean, y'all went in state. You know, softball almost won a state title this past fall. Football having a great year. This has been a good time for Donovan sports. Tell me about that.
Well, I just really – it goes back to the coaches, and that's – I mean, we try to put coaches that know what they're doing or try to hire the best we can. And I feel like we've kind of really hit a home run with Coach Hampton and his assistant, Coach Skiles. And then just try to give them all the tools that they need to be successful. I mean, we do got some athletic kids, and they work hard. And kids like to be pushed, and they like to have discipline. And as long as they know it's the same for everybody. And we've got those sports that you mentioned, we've got some really good coaches that are in those spots leading those kids. And it's just amazing to just kind of watch all that. It's fun.
It really is. You know, some big games coming up for y'all. I believe the Lady Earl's Christmas Classic is going to seed on Wednesday, which is, you know, before we air. And so I know you guys are excited about that. Tell me about that real quick.
Well, I think it's Friday. I think we go Friday to Kulin to seed that. And we've had pretty good success in that tournament over the past few years. And I like the tournament. Kelly and Twin Rivers, they do a great job of putting that on. They do it the right way. It's rare to find a 16-team tournament for girls.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nice that it's right around that Christmas time. It's not really far away from home. You get all the family members coming in, and they can go watch, you know, their little niece play ball. And usually it gets done right before Bloomfield starts too. So, yep. You know, our fans get to watch the girls play, and then they get to go and watch the boys play in the Bloomfield tournament too. So I really like that tournament.
I noticed you've got a really impressive piece of jewelry on your right hand. Talk about what that was like to receive your championship ring and also to give that to the girls.
Man, that was a special night. We did that last night, and it's been killing everybody waiting, you know, because we've had them. We've had them for a while, but we haven't given them out. I think my assistant coach Jimbo is about to go into cardiac arrest because he's been chasing one his whole life. But it's pretty special. We were going to do it actually on the first home football game, but our athletes are multi-sport athletes, so most of the girls were playing in a softball tournament at Jackson, so we just pushed it off to our first regular season game. It was a pretty special night last night for a Monday night. The gym was packed, pretty electric atmosphere, and then having all those players come in from last year and played a couple videos on the screen. I don't know, it's hard not to get a little bit emotional seeing all that. You know?
Yeah.
And now I think more than ever, like when you do it, it doesn't really sink in. It's kind of like a shell-shocked or whatever, but now it just kind of really has been hitting home these past few weeks what we actually really did.
So you said your team is motivated. What about yourself? Do you want another ring so that you have a matching set on each hand?
It would be nice. But I also am realistic, too. I know how hard it is just to get there to the Final Four, and much less to win it all. I do think we've got some kids right now that I think we have a shot, you know. I've kind of looked at our path a little bit. There are some really good teams on the way, and we will have to be playing our best basketball at that time of year, and we'll have to do it without injuries and
Kind of what it's all about.
But, yeah, I'm motivated. I don't know what it is, but I always find something to get me stirred up a little bit. Some people, you know, saying, oh, you guys, you only won last year because of this, or, you know what, they're not the same team, da-da-da-da-da. I have to have that kind of stuff to get going. Some people don't, but
I always say don't listen to the naysayers. Just, you know who you are. Go out and play your game and, you know, be the team that you are.
That's right.
Indeed. And, you know, one more thing I'm going to mention, before we switch segments. I know coaches don't like to look ahead, but we fans, we love to look ahead. And you guys got a big matchup coming up, I believe, in February at Jackson. That is going to be like Foreman versus Ali. That is going to be like Tyson versus Holyfield. That's going to be a great matchup. I know as fans, we're excited to see that one. I know you may not be looking ahead that far, but do you have any thoughts you want to offer real quick?
Well, I'd say Jackson's one of the best teams in Southeast Missouri, so we definitely look forward to that game. We had an absolutely knockdown drag out with them last year, and they got us at our place by two, I think. And then the year before, we got them at their place, and then the year before we had an overtime game at Donovan, and we squeaked by there. So, yeah, I would say that'll be probably one of the premier girls basketball games in Southeast Missouri that night.
It's going to be a fun one. I believe that may be coming up on Groundhog Day. I'd have to confirm that. But it is going to be an absolute gym dandy. Yeah. Oh, wow. And I just saw you guys are playing St. Vincent on the 20th of February.
Yeah, we picked them up. That's good. Right at the tail end, I try to end loaded as much as we can, and that's a good pickup for the end of the year.
And then, you know, your perennial rival Notre Dame out of Cape Girardeau to close out the regular season.
Right. Being Class 4 and higher, this week right here is hard to get games, you know, because you got to move your bigger schools to those days, or you just sit around on your hands. And when we went from Class 3 to Class 4, that was a big deal. And we've kind of got it where we want to. We had a team or two drop us there that week, and Notre Dame was gracious enough to move, because usually we play them right around here. And we also are going to the Sophie Cunningham Classic this year, and found out we're picking up we play Tipton on that Friday at noon. So we'll get to see how good we are against those guys, because they're a buzzsaw up there in that middle Missouri area.
Yeah, we were just talking about that with the Raiders and the Lady Raiders, because the Lady Raiders have dropped a couple of games, and I said, I think it's good to drop a couple of games in the regular season, as long as they're hard-fought, and it helps you to identify some potential areas of, not necessarily weakness, but just areas that you need to work harder on, you know. And you see when you lose, it's like, how could we have beaten that game? And it teaches you a lot, especially for the postseason when it's one or done.
That's right, and it does no good to play a team where I cannot play good and still win. I can make mistakes and not be punished for those mistakes, you know. And so it's hard to do it in our area, you know. Being a Class 4 school, we really, really got to travel to go play somebody really good that's a big school.
Yeah.
But we really try to play as many tough ones as we can, because your regular season record don't matter to a hill of beans when the district tournament starts. You have had to been tested to that point, and we've got a few good tests on there.
Yeah, and like you said, even here locally, that target is on your back now. So, you know, maybe even the Class 3, the Class 2 teams that you play, they're going to be completely geeked up to play you guys.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They're all wanting to knock you off.
Yep, and we picked up AV, Arcadia Valley, just here recently, and that's a really good team over in the Lead Belt area as well, going to their place. You know, Neelyville conference rivalry there.
Oh,
they'll be all right. The Thayer is a really good team, and they're coming to town right before we go to the Sophie, too. So we got four or five really good tests on there. We're excited about the year.
Yeah, we're excited about Donovan Sports. You know, here at the sports desk, we kind of consider all of Southeast Missouri to be, you know, our area. So, you know, we like to celebrate the successes, not just here in Poplar Bluff, but in all the communities here in Southeast Missouri. So we really appreciate you guys taking time out to come and talk to us today, and best of luck in all of your programs.
Indeed. And guys, that is Adam Epps and Nathan Handa from Donovan High School here on the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle.
This is Three Rivers College women's basketball coach Alex Wiggs, and you are listening to the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle.
And welcome back to the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle. And we are going to do our dive into our three NFL teams, the Tennessee Titans, Mark's Minnesota Vikings, and Kyle's Los Angeles Rams. I'm going to start off with the Titans because, first of all, we did something that we have not done much this year. We won a football game, and we actually won a game instead of having one gifted to us by an incompetent opposition. I'll be honest with you, as a Titans fan, that one was fun. You know, I'm a big Cam Ward fan. I'm also a Shedeur Sanders fan. You know, I do root for the Browns, too. They're kind of like one of my secondary teams.
Man, you are a glutton for punishment.
Oh, ugh. Yes, I am.
Do you cheer for the Raiders, too, or the Jets?
No.
Directly from the Factory of Sadness University.
But
I don't have good news for you. The Titans are going west to play the Niners. That's going to get ugly for you guys.
Yeah, the Niners are going to smoke us. It's going to be ugly. I can live with that because we got our second win. Now let's lose some games to get that number one pick. But Sunday was fun. You know, Tony Pollard ran wild, had the best rushing game of his career, if you can believe that. You know, Cam Ward did what he had to do to win his first multi-touchdown game of his career. And watching Shedeur Sanders, he had a nice game. I mean, he threw for over 350 yards. I think he threw three touchdowns, ran for another. He's going to be the Browns' starting quarterback the rest of the season. I know Shedeur can be a polarizing figure. We have a good friend who is not a Shedeur fan at all, but I like Shedeur. I'd like to see this guy do good. And you know what? Maybe the Browns have their quarterback in the future, and instead of trying to get another franchise quarterback, they can take their 2026 draft and invest it in getting the pieces they need to put around him and maybe finally start winning ball games. The Browns have not been consistently good since I was a high school kid in the 1980s. That's how long it's been, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember. I can't remember a time when the Browns were good. When I think about the Browns being good, I think about Bernie Kosar. I think about
exactly.
I think about the teams that were coached by Marty Schottenheimer. They
exactly.
could never get past John Elway's Denver Broncos before they went on to their sacrificial slaughter at the hands of whatever NFC team was going to crush them in the Super Bowl.
That was the 1980s. That's how long it's been, y'all. I mean, you know, the Browns made it to the AFC Championship game after the 86 and 87 seasons. That's how long it has been since the Cleveland Browns have been relevant. And I'm hoping
the drive and the fumble.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm kind of hoping with the Titans, you know, our remaining schedule is pretty tough. We go to you know, Northern California this Sunday to play the Niners. We come home the Sunday before Christmas to take on the Chiefs. The Chiefs may be struggling, but the Chiefs are probably good enough to come to Nashville and whip the Titans. The most winnable game we have left, if everything is straight up, is we host the Saints the Sunday after Christmas, although the Saints are fresh off their third win. And then we wrap up the regular season by taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, who may or may not have something to play for. We don't know yet. But, you know, let's see us keep growing. But let's still find a way to draft high. If we get the number one pick, we can trade it down, get some draft picks. I did a mock draft recently where we got the number one pick, traded down, and managed to get some really nice prospects. I know Mark and Kyle were really awed with my draft, which that's not easy to do, to get them impressed with a draft. But enough about the Titans. Mark, tell me about your Vikings. They got a nice win, too.
Yeah, I was really just overjoyed with the way the Vikings played. You know, it's been such a miserably down season. You know, so a 31-rip thrashing of the woeful Washington Commanders was just fantastic. I didn't like seeing Jaden Daniels get knocked out. That was a clean hit by Isaiah Rodgers, who was trying to keep him from making a tackle on Andrew Van Ginkle after Gink did another interception. We also found out that Terry McLaurin is faster than Andrew Van Ginkle. He could not outrun him. But that was nice to see. And, you know, my take right now, and of course, you know, I consume a lot of Vikings content, primarily on YouTube, but I listen to a lot of the shows from Purple Daily, Score North, Purple Insider, which is hosted by Matthew Collar. And, you know, these are experienced sports journalists who've been following football and specifically following the Vikings for a long time. They've been talking a lot about how in this past week, Kevin O'Connell really simplified the system that the offense that he's running. Of course, he's supposed to be this offensive guru, this pass game genius. We saw that last season a lot of times with Sam Darnold. But Darnold is gone. This is JJ's first season playing, so even second season in the league. He's essentially a rookie quarterback. And it's like it was the first day of flight school. Or actually, you know, it's okay. So you've been training him in a single engine Cessna for about a month, and then you put him in like an F-35 fighter jet. It's like, okay, kid, go get him. And you know, you're surprised when he crashes into the side of a mountain. What did you expect? So against Washington, admittedly a woeful defense, what did they do? They ran the ball more than they passed. Okay, they have two excellent running backs in Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason, and they fed them the ball, and they got the results that they needed. That set up play-action passes. McCarthy had wide-open receivers. They ran a lot of 13 personnel, which means three tight ends on the field, so he always had checkdowns that he could go to. And they also said that they were just going to tell him, look, stop thinking about your mechanics and all those details. Just go out there and play pitch and catch. You know, go out and play like you did when you were 16. Just go out and have fun. And guess what? He looked good. You know, he didn't look like a veteran quarterback. He still played like a rookie. He still took some sacks that he shouldn't have. He still made some decisions that he shouldn't have. But he didn't turn the ball over, and he had three touchdown passes. And so that's all introduction to my take, and I want you guys to respond to this. But if Kevin O'Connell really is a good head coach, what do we mean by that? Because he's been trying to shove McCarthy's square peg into his round hole in terms of, I need a quarterback, you know, who can run my offense. And so a lot of the talk in Minnesota is, well, does JJ come back as your starting quarterback? Or do you go and you trade for somebody, a veteran who can run the system? And it's like, that's why we got rid of Kirk Cousins in the first place, is because these veterans that could run his system was never going to get him a win in the playoffs. What gets you wins in the playoffs is a tough running game and a tough defense and a team that can win in the trenches. And as an example of that, I want to hand you the, you know, dying body, not quite dead yet, but the dying body of the Kansas City Chiefs. What can't the Chiefs do this season? They can't run, and they don't have an offensive line that can protect Patrick Mahomes. So it's left to Mahomes to do heroic things, try to throw the ball downfield to his receivers. He's going to get Travis Kelce killed before he even has a chance to get married to Taylor Swift. I mean, that was brutal. Just and people were like, why didn't he catch that ball? Because he got hit by three guys at the same time. Plus, the pass was behind him. Give the guy a break. But what is happening is that these pass-first offenses don't work. And, you know, the guy who's leading the way, Kyle, is the head coach of your favorite team, Sean McVay. Sean McVay's running 13 personnel. Sean McVay is feeding the ball to Blake Corum, who is emerging, you know, possibly as a not a number one, but maybe a 1B receiver running back to your other starting running back. I mean, the way that Los Angeles is dominating the NFC for the most part this season is by being monsters in the trenches, protecting their quarterback, having an effective running game, getting pressure on the opponent's quarterback. And if you look at the history of the league, this is how you win championships. So what I want to ask is, what do you want, Kevin O'Connell? Do you want people to praise you for how clever your passing schemes are, or do you want to win a Super Bowl championship? Because if all you want to do is scheme passing routes, then I would just prefer that you resign or take your pink slip and go get a job as an offensive coordinator with another team, you know, and you can be like Mike Martz and be as fancy and as clever as you want. What I want is a head coach that is willing to adapt his program and play tough football in the trenches and do whatever it takes to win a football game. So that's my take. Kevin O'Connell has shown that he can change his game plan to a winning formula. The question for this week and for the rest of the season is whether he will try to repeat that or if he'll just keep frustrating J.J. McCarthy and all the Vikings fans by demanding that he do something that he's not yet ready to do.
Good points.
Kyle, your take.
Well, first and foremost, before I get into my side of things, let me just get this out of the way. Cover your ears. Kevin Stefanski, kiss my ass. Let me get that out of the way. We do not have the time today, but if you wanted to, go to the Sports Historian on YouTube. I will be ranting at some point this week. My rant this week and another edition of Belt to Behind. We go to Arizona. We hand the Cardinals their butt on a silver platter, 45-17. I was so impressed with Blake Corum and his ability to run the football. And I know we were playing against a defense that that's just below league average, but he averaged a
gaggle of yards per carry. And we may have now added even more balance to our offense by adding a second running back to offset Kyren Williams. You know how scary that is?
It really
is. Find more weapons.
When you're talking about weapons with the Rams, let's just be honest. Puka Nacua is not of this earth.
No, he's a cheat code.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. He does ridiculous things out there. I mean, the man has so much physical talent and gifted physical abilities. It's just amazing to watch. I wish I was still a Rams fan. They're so damn good.
and we're so fun to watch. And my two biggest concerns this year have been alleviated, knock on wood, is that the prayer circle I've been putting around John Matthew Stafford hasn't worked.
Keep lighting those candles.
I know. He's barely been touched.
Hey, make sure Jobu's rum cup is filled.
Not a struggle.
So make sure you keep Jobu's rum cup filled up, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yo, bartender, Jobu needs a refill. Watch out for that flying bat in the air.
Oh, my God. I know it's baseball, not football. Still the funniest sports movie ever.
Yeah, we may have to have a discussion about that and what falls underneath Major League as the funniest baseball movie of all time.
Yes.
But the secondary, which has in the last few years been a concern, especially our safeties, as an entire unit, they've been more than solid. We force a lot of turnovers, and I could not be happier with the all-around 11 effort of 11 on the defensive side of the ball, where with the Rams leading defense, you usually think of the pass rush and edges causing pressure, and obviously the days of Aaron Donald, which are not too far off. Wouldn't mind if he were unretired just for a game. But you usually don't think of a ball-hawking attacking secondary. But, our group of guys have been getting it done this year. I've been very, very happy with that. And I'm going to go on ahead and say it again. Until there's a team that was more impressive through these eyes and y'all's eyes, the Los Angeles Rams are the best team in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. If we're doing power rankings, I don't think there's any question about that. Let's look ahead to Sunday, and let's stay in Los Angeles. They're going to be hosting the Detroit Lions, a team that is desperate for a win. They are still on the outside looking in terms of playoff participation. The Rams, however, are motivated to win because they are trying to hold off both Seattle and San Francisco for the top spot in the NFC West. So who is going to prevail, the Rams or the Lions?
Oh, it's such a bloodbath. And I officially, for the rest of my days until our quarterbacks retire, I don't like us playing the Detroit Lions. Because y'all know on the show, I would give myself willing CTE for Dan Campbell. What a beautiful, manly man he is. I love that roster. Jahmyr Gibbs is officially a dude. But my one concern is with the Lions receiving corps. We don't know what Amon-Ra St. Brown's status will be for that game, which it should honestly be flexed to a prime time slot. The fact that's a 3:25.
They should trade with the Vikings-Dallas game. Those two games should be switched out.
Agreed.
Yeah, who in the world is trying to watch that? I mean, besides you, because you're a masochist. But my point is, with the Lions receiving core, without Amon-Ra St. Brown, we see how much that group struggles to create separation and to make plays and get open for Jared Goff. Now, I still think that we're going to win. It's going to be a fun game. Could be really high scoring because we know the Lions, they can get their points in bunches still, like they have the last couple of years. But I just still think that we're going to be a little too much and we'll win late. Plus, if need be, we have the thicker kicker, damn it.
M-I-Z.
That man can kick a ball from 600 yards.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move down to Dallas, Texas, and talk about the Sunday night game. It's probably looked really good at the beginning of the season. I'm picking the Cowboys to beat the Vikings for several reasons. Number one, we haven't seen J.J. McCarthy put together two good games in a row. In fact, this past week was the first time we had seen him put
four good quarters in a row consecutively, whether in one game or multiple games. So so that's problem number one. Which version of J.J. McCarthy is going to show up? That's highly dependent on the way that Kevin O'Connell schemes this game. Is it going to be another simplified, basic game plan that plays upon McCarthy's strengths and minimizes his limitations? Or is he going to go YOLO in the passing game again? You know, anyone who's been following this team knows that, unfortunately, O'Connell hates to run. I mean, he wants to be zipping the ball downfield to Jefferson and Addison and Jalen Naylor. And that's just not going to work. I don't think it's going to work against the Dallas defense, which, while it's not great, is still improved. And, of course, Dallas's offense has been really good this season, but the strength of the Vikings is their defense. So I think if the Vikings have a chance of winning this game, then what they're going to have to do is to pressure Dak Prescott. They're going to have to pressure him because the Vikings secondary is not capable of covering George Pickens or CeeDee Lamb. They're not. They're not capable of doing that at all. So their only hope is to pressure Prescott so that he can't get the ball downfield to those star receivers. And I don't think they're going to do that enough. You know, if this gets into a shootout, then the advantage definitely goes to Dallas. And this is another reason why KOC needs to really rely on the run game and the short passes. One of the things that the Vikings did last week that was really remarkable, they had a 19-play, 98-yard drive that ate 12 minutes.
Wow.
12 minutes off the clock in that game. It's the longest drive in the NFL in like the past 4 years, and possibly the longest drive in Vikings franchise history. Now, if you want to beat the Cowboys, that's how you're going to have to beat the Cowboys. You keep their suspect defense on the field as long as possible, and you keep Dak and those insanely good receivers on the sideline watching you move the ball. Now, if O'Connell can't figure that out, then he's not qualified to be an NFL head coach. Now, the other question that I want to ask is, are we sure that the Cowboys are good? Here's who they've beaten. The Giants. They tied with the Packers. They beat the Jets. The Commanders, who we now know are awful. They lost to the Broncos. They lost to the Cardinals. They beat the Raiders.
Yikes. Cardinals.
They beat the Raiders, the Eagles, who lost their fourth game in a row and are not nearly as good as we thought they were when they were sitting at 8-2. And then they beat the dying body of the Kansas City Chiefs by barely a field goal. Then thinking, okay, they're making a run. They go up to Detroit, and the Lions, as you said, Kyle, applied belt to behind and whip them by two touchdowns. So do the Vikings have a chance of winning this game? Absolutely. The only question for me is, will O'Connell give them an opportunity to win this game? Or will he continue with his old stubborn throw the ball downfield ways? Time will tell, and I bear no responsibility for the outcome of the game on Sunday night. So I don't want to hear about it.
It's going to be interesting, and that's our show for this week. We're going to have some fun stuff coming up the next few weeks. Really excited about it, but it's been a great one, guys. I'm Mike Bueller.
I'm Mark Sanders.
And still in first place, and will be after next week.
And you have been listening to The Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle.